Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to those of you who are present this afternoon, as well as those listening via the internet. This is a very this is a special school board meeting today, Tuesday, August the 20th. Will you please join me and stand for the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right. In the interest of time, I will report out that all school members are present, and thank you all for being here. Also want to let everyone know that Superintendent Egner can be here if we need him for any issue that may come up during our time. However, as you might expect, he's a little busy right now, so I told him that do what he needs to be doing, and if we need him, we can call him to the meeting. There is a public participation time for any item on this agenda, and the only item on this agenda is our superintendent search, and we have one person in the audience willing to speak, wishing to speak. That's Ms. Albert. Ms. Albert, you want to come forward now? And you can, yeah. Well, it's, thank you for being here.
Of course. Well, thank you. So, Elizabeth Albert, proud president of Volusia United Educators. So, I'm very surprised, really, that for such a very important and critical decision for our district, that really the audience is two people. That's perplexing to me, but nonetheless.
So, but thousands are listening.
We'll see.
Thousands.
So the reason I'm here is because, you know, your office specialists, your paraprofessionals, and your teachers, whom I represent, are very interested in engaging in this process. And you all should have received some emails last Thursday just sharing their interest and their desire to be heard through this process, to be valued and respected as we move through the steps that have been laid out in the timeline on this journey that will end in December, really the end of November. But as we look at what's been put forth so far, something that was of extreme concern to all of us was the survey. And I noticed that the presentation has been corrected, so thank you very much for doing that. But I think more concerning than the presentation was the fact that when we stopped and looked at this and went through it, the word office specialist, the word paraprofessional, and the word teacher was not included one time in this online survey. And I know that this is the tool that will be sent out to the community to garner their responses and what they value to be critical components and attributes of a new superintendent. But I think the target audience that we're looking at, they're probably our parents. They're our community members that may currently or in the past or even in the future will have children, grandchildren going through our system. And I think it's very important to make sure that we include the relationship that our potential superintendent will have with our support folks and our teachers in our online survey. Another thing that was interesting to me is when we were talking about stakeholder groups, we included media, legislative, and congressional delegations. You know, I reckon that those are important ones as well, but I think there are some other folks that are probably in closer proximity than our congressional delegations that might be more valuable stakeholders initially than those that were represented there. And also just another thing that was a little concerning, you know, you're going to be putting this out to the public, and I wonder how much they really know about corrective action improvement plans. I wonder what they really know about social-emotional learning. So I'm just wondering if maybe our language can be pared down for the general public so that they'll clearly understand where we're going. So just some suggestions. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ms. Albert. Good suggestions. All right. Then that concludes the public participation segment of this agenda, and we will now move on. And we have our representatives with us today from the Florida School Board Association. As always, gentlemen, if you'd introduce yourselves and your title before you begin speaking. And Dr. Vogel?
Bill Vogel, representing the Florida School Board Association. And with me is John Reichert, also representing the Florida School Board Association as a consultant. And we'd like to get started with a review of the timeline.
Well, that sounds great. And if you just pull those microphones closer to you so everyone can hear you. All right. Who wants to start? John?
I will volunteer.
All right. Go ahead.
On your screens and in your packet as well, we did provide you with an updated timeline. As we've addressed before, this is kind of a fluid document that changes occasionally based on the needs of the district and some other factors that may come into play. If you would kind of scroll down the first page of the timeline with me, please, and you'll notice that on September 5th, we have identified the Port Orange South Daytona Chamber of Commerce site in Port Orange for the September 5th community forum, which will start at 6 o'clock. The second item down from there, on September the 16th, our second community forum will be at DeLand High School, 800 North Hill Avenue, DeLand, which starts at 6 o'clock. And also on that afternoon of September the 16th, we will have one of the internal focus groups where we'll meet from 4 to 5 at the site that's identified there at the Volusia United Educators Building. Yes, ma'am. Just the focus group. Yes, ma'am.
So does that mean that doesn't need to be advertised?
No.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman?
Yes, Ms. Cuthbert, sorry.
I have a concern for high school teachers don't get out till 3:30. Middle school teachers don't get out. I mean, school's not out till 4:30. I don't know how many teachers would be able to get to the VUE building in time.
Ms. Albert, do you want to respond to that? Because I believe this time was set by you.
Thank you for the opportunity. So yeah. This meeting was a meeting that we were going to have with our executive board, board members, and then the community meetings, our understanding would be open to
other teachers?
Right.
Okay, gotcha. Okay, thank you for the clarification.
Thank you. Thank you for the question, Ms. Cuthbert. And back to you.
Okay, thank you. And moving on to the second page, you will note that the September 23rd date is a new date. I'm sorry, let me jump to right above that, September the 19th. Our third community forum will be at Deltona City Hall, there in Deltona at 6 o'clock. And then a new date we added September the 23rd because we did kind of have a slight conflict with another event. So we've changed or added the September 23rd for our fourth community forum, which will be at Holly Hill School in Holly Hill, and that will be at 6 p.m. as well.
Great.
This two items down from there on September the 26th. That will be our first Citizens Advisory Committee meeting, which will be held at the school district facilities office on Olson Drive. That has been on the calendar, and we also added right below there from 4 to 5 p.m. one of our focus groups, Futures, that will be at Olson at 4 p.m. Those really are the kind of adjustments to our timeline. And really now the only other thing pending, if you will look down toward the bottom at our finalist interviews on site, November 6th, 7th, and 8th, we still have kind of the time and location pending. As you know, this Friday your web search portal goes live. This timeline will be on there. And I didn't know if the board wanted to entertain any thoughts this afternoon about at least getting the location of the on-site interviews, which will be that Thursday and Friday. The day of November 6th will be kind of for candidates to come into town. We wanted to put that on there so the candidates would leave this date open and not conflict their schedule. So if there's any thought or any desire by the board to discuss at this point the location for the on-site interviews for the 7th and 8th.
Let's allow Kelly to weigh in here, because I know you've been in touch with Futures, correct?
Yes. Futures has agreed.
If you pull that mic close to you.
Futures has offered to sponsor the community reception with some refreshments. And they have some ideas in mind of locations, but they wanted to wait until I spoke with the board to see if you had a problem having it on the east side, or do you want centrally located, or how you wanted to work that.
Deltona.
I knew that was going to come up.
Deltona.
They have some
Deltona,
spots on
there. New Smyrna, right. Ormond Beach, DeLand, and Daytona
right.
Beach. That's all.
I know. Well, the two spots that they had mentioned are on the east side, so
sure.
If everyone's okay with that, that would be
good. So let me just make sure that we're all clear. So Futures is going to pick up the tab. Is that what we're saying?
Correct. It's light refreshments.
Okay. And if it is at a place, are they thinking of a place other than a school district-owned property?
Yes, and I don't know if I want to mention it just now because I don't know that they've worked out the details with the specific venues, but east side off of school property, or if we want to do it in a school, we could do that as well.
I see. Okay. Well, I'm kind of good with the fact that I'm very thankful that Futures wants to help us out with this, and I'm sure that they'll put on a first-class show, and as it should be for our finalists.
Sure.
And when it says reception, then I think that should be at a nice place.
Sure. And they have no problem going anywhere. They just had a couple in mind on the east side that they work with frequently.
Okay. And what you're saying is you don't want to reveal what those places might be?
I just don't know if she's spoken with them officially to see if these dates would work. So,
okay.
I mean, I can give her a call here.
Well, then let me ask you, John, this, because your concern was having this on the portal and so forth.
Right. I don't believe it's a crisis issue to get it
right.
Solved today.
No.
So we can certainly at the next meeting, which we're scheduled to come back, I think, on the 28th.
Yes, sir.
If we could kind of have that clarified then we can always update and do a press release and kind of get the updated information out.
Okay.
But for clarification, if I could, Mr. Chair.
Yeah.
So the on-site interviews where the board will be interviewing the three or four finalists, whatever the board chooses, and will that be those interviews when the board is interviewing as a total body that will be here at this facility?
That was my understanding, yes.
Yes.
Correct.
The
board members, yes.
Right.
Everyone's
and the,
nodding.
And the one-on-one
yes.
interviews will be at this facility as well.
Yes.
So we're simply talking about the community reception.
That's all.
On
yeah.
Thursday night.
And that'd be an evening, yeah, an
yes.
evening reception.
Yes. Yes. Thank you.
Yes. Okay,
perfect.
Good. Okay, great. Ms. Cuthbert had a
so
question.
So I'm just making sure, when are our interviews? Which day? The Friday?
They will be the Thursday or the Friday. I think
okay,
with,
okay.
yes, when Mr. Cullen, his kind of, his availability starting on, I think, Thursday at noon.
Yeah, I'll be back.
We might have to alter that a little bit, so I'm still kind of working on that, but the one-on-one interviews and the interviews as a total body will be Thursday and Friday at some point.
Okay. Okay.
And
great.
Those will be here. And we actually can go ahead and kind of put that the interviews will be at the land, you know, this office, and that will be fine.
That sounds good.
Okay.
So we will have wrapped up everything by Friday 5 o'clock.
Yes.
It'll all be
yes.
completed.
Yes,
good. Yes, Connie.
On August 28th, do you need to be placed on the regular school board agenda or on the workshop agenda? They can't vote in the workshop, so it's something they don't need to vote on.
It says 5:30.
We really only have a couple of items to discuss there, and that is kind of the guidelines for each community forum before they kick off on September 5th. and also just a little input form that we just want the board to see. So it's really just kind of seeing the guidelines for the community forum, the process we will run through to get the public's input, and also just a form to request input from each person who attends that meeting as they exit as well.
And, so, Connie, what time's our workshop?
The workshop is
1:30.
Double check.
The 28th? I have it down at 1:30.
That's what I thought. I just wanted, because it's a different time.
And that's the one on a Wednesday, right?
Right.
Yeah. Well, you know what we could do, John, I don't know, we could have it on the workshop and on the board meeting agenda. Put it on the workshop so we can talk about it and, take the time there, and then just have it on the school board agenda to just take official action after we've already talked about it. You know, we won't need to talk about it again, but just to have the vote.
And I'm not even sure if there's really any action that's needed.
Really?
I think workshop would be fine.
All right.
I do.
Mr. Cologne, do you have a question?
Yeah, so if we're going to be doing the interviews here on Thursday, then if we did it at, let's say, what's the name of the place here in DeLand?
Sanborn Center.
Sanborn Center. That'd be centric to everybody, I think, east and west. And it's only a few minutes from here rather than going from here to, I wouldn't be opposed to going east. However, we'd be rushing to get out of here to make it there. Yeah.
That is a real good idea, because if there's too much travel time, there's not a lot of, in between. That's a good suggestion if that works.
And Kelly, it is a good idea. And Kelly, can I ask you, were they thinking like a 5 to 7 reception time?
Yes.
Is that okay?
That's what I
5 to 7.
Four to six.
Have to be later.
Maybe start at 6.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because why? Because you think the interview will end?
Well, no, sir. It's more about the community reception, letting people get off work at 5 and then maybe running home to take care of children or to get things organized to be at the reception at 6. It will give us a little more time, a little longer window to be ready by 6.
Sure.
But it's more for the public and their availability, 6 to 8 at the most. Mm-hmm.
We're good. We're good any way they want to do it. That works. 5.
Right. 1:30. So I'll change this on the timeline as well. Yes. Right. Correct.
Okay. That sounds great. And then getting back to the location, then could you let us know that on the workshop? Time to
absolutely,
and if they can get this place that Mr.
There's a Sanborn, the other one that was I visited
Cologne
for
mentioned.
Volusia Online, they did something at the it was on ISB and right at 1792. There's a hotel right there, and that had a meeting room too as well. I'm trying to think what would be sort of centric for everybody and not too far from here. Because even going to New Smyrna from here is a 35-minute haul, easy.
Well, Kelly, if you can just run those ideas through futures.
We have to do the land, because everything else is extreme.
So. Right.
You have to think of the highway.
All right. That sounds great. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
A lot
so
of progress,
We'll have just a couple adjustments to the timeline, changing that 28th meeting of August with the board to the 1:30 workshop.
John, while you're looking at your notes, I had a question about the focus. What are they called? Focus groups?
Yes.
What if a board member suggests another group, like another focus group? Can that be added, or how flexible are you with?
I know it
depends on your schedules too. So.
Well, I think as long as it's on one of the same dates as we have a community forum,
then
we could do two more, I guess.
Two more.
Yes.
Okay. So, board members, I don't know if there is anything like that, but. I should point out that the 10 organizations that we all picked I was able to get confirmation from each of them, which was amazing. And they have confirmed that they would be able to attend all three or four of those meetings. Right. So that's great. And I also mentioned to each of them if they wanted to be a focus group too, but they didn't care to do that. They rather just have somebody on the committee, and they were fine with it. So,
I mean, if it's not too much trouble, I wouldn't mind having a focus group before the community forum in Deltona, just for West Side. We could definitely gather some folks on my area, but you know, I don't see what the
point would be.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I know.
You bring it up. I just don't. I think there's ample opportunity.
So right now we have the we have you, and we have Futures.
Yes.
Obviously, they are very connected to our school district. Yeah. All right. Good. Moving on. Yes, Ms. Wright.
Ask me. Are they going to join VIEW?
No.
So that's a focus group.
So you may want to think about them.
Reaching out to them and just ask them if they would like to
let us know on the 28th. It'd be fine.
Okay. Kelly, can I ask you or Greg?
Yes,
sir. Okay, great. Thank you. And you have the dates. Yeah.
Yes.
I think there's two left, two times left. Good suggestion. We don't want to leave anyone out. That's all I'm trying to do, because, you know, as open as we are, and we've been saying this for an half month, someone's going to say, well, you didn't ask me, or you you left me out. And I'm just trying to have us all kind of think, and let's try to include everyone. Ms. Cuthbert.
May I ask, Ms. Wright, are you going to join me on the 5th of September?
On the 5th and the both Port Orange and Holly Hill.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Good.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think we're done with the timeline now, so we'll move on to the and ask the board to review the draft brochure that Kelly has put together with some of her support folks. So I will turn it over to Kelly.
All right. Thank you.
Hello, Kelly.
Hello. I don't know if I officially introduced myself. Chairman Persis, members of the board, and Superintendent Egner, who's not here, but I know he's listening. Thank you. I'm Kelly Schultz, Director of Community Information. This is a brochure that is somewhat modeled after some of the other school districts, but we made it a little more unique and added some wonderful features from Volusia County. We'll go from the top down. The vision statement. We have district facts. A little map of where Volusia is, since I know we're going to be looking not just in Florida, but a nationwide search. Our mission statement, members of the school board, a picture of the beach. A little bit about the district. We made sure to include not just information about the location and how beautiful it is here, but also some of the things that are nearby that you can enjoy. We have NASCAR and theme parks, football, basketball, baseball, soccer programs. Talked a little more about our district and who make up our district. Then we have the successes, which we gathered from one of the other school board meetings that we had that you had mentioned. And put some of those on there. The desired leadership qualities, that's something that Dr. Vogel put together, I believe.
Right, and we went ahead and distributed that to the board at the last meeting and asked the board for their input. Certainly we're open for changes, and in fact we do have one addition we would recommend based on the conversation we heard prior.
Mm-hmm. Which is fosters positive relationships with employee unions and school-connected organizations.
Group.
We'll add that line if you're okay with that.
Smile. Smile back there, Miss Albert. Smile. Thank you. Thumbs
here
up for Miss Albert.
Yeah, the pictures inside here of our students and classrooms and activities. And then if you look at the back page, we have qualifications. And this is based on the job description that was given to us, the contract terms, which were laid out in previous board meetings, the application process and deadline, and then the finalist interview information on the back. And that's what we have for you today. When we hand these out, we'll make copies of these, but this will also be posted on our website where the applicants can go. I'm sorry.
Okay, we have two questions, okay. Ms. Wright and then Ms. Cuthbert.
And so the qualifications on this, and this is very well done, and the qualifications on this, there is an error. So which one is correct? The very first one says a master's degree, blah, 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 blah. Mm-hmm. Let's get to in an educational field with Florida certification in educational leadership. On this one, it does not say Florida.
Correct.
If we're doing a national search, should we have Florida or eligible for Florida certification?
What we did is the board expressed interest in not restricting the application process to those who are just educators. So we modified it because of that. We could add eligible in Florida, but that if someone is not an educator, they would not be. They may not be able to get a certificate. And in Florida, there's not really a superintendent certificate until you've been a superintendent and go through the training program. So that would certainly be the choice of the board. The other thing, just so you're aware, is we went ahead and we modified this job description. I think the board thought it might be good to condense this a little bit. And then also we opened it up so people without educational degrees could apply. So we're open to any changes the board would like to make.
Okay, so tell me again, where does this one go? Where is this posted?
This one, and Mr. Durant could help us with this also. This is the board-approved job description.
Current.
And at a prior meeting, we talked about this job description, and I think Mr. Duran was okay if we went ahead and modified it if the board agreed on it for a future change later on. Because this job description, the way I read it, restricts people who do not have an educational background for applying.
And I agree with you. And so that's my question.
Okay.
Are we going to rectify? Are we going to make sure these mirror one another?
Yes, in the future. Mr. Duran might want to copy it. In the future, what I would suggest is that this job description come back to the board, and that's actually one of our agenda items here that we wanted to talk about. If the board goes with these qualifications, then this should be put on the agenda to go ahead and modify this job description.
Got it. And it seems like Ms. Wright would have plenty of time to get that. Yeah. Yeah. No, absolutely. They should mirror each other. Ted, did you want to say something?
Well, I just want to mention on the record that we're referring to it as a job description, but it's entitled position description. It's not a description of what the person does, which is a job description,
okay,
but rather a description of the qualifications necessary for the
Thank
position.
You. Thank
so we're all on the same page, but for purposes of the record, I just want to make sure that it's clear, or if anybody's listening in, that's what we're talking about.
Thank you. And Ms. Cuthbert, you had a question, I believe.
Mine is based on the last page of the brochure. It says three letters of recommendation. What kind of letters? Personal, business, leadership, somebody you work with? See, there's no specification. It could be all from family members.
It probably implies professional recommendations, so we probably should clarify that. Professional. Yes, ma'am.
Okay, thank you.
Good
Thank
catch
you.
There, Ms. Cuthbert.
Thank you very much.
Excellent. Good. Mr. Cologne, did you have a
So the one thing that caught my eye was that we're advertising 60-plus career and technical academies. I think it would be academies and programs because we don't have 60-plus academies. So I think that's – I don't know if we just, you know, add a / programs, and then that sort of encompasses both.
Absolutely.
Another good catch there. Very good. Yes.
And good job with the pictures, by the way. They are diverse.
Yep.
Just to follow up on the job description. So what we'll do is we'll ask Ms. Page to go ahead and come back to the board at some future time to change the required qualifications for the superintendent on the job description to match these that are on the brochure. that will satisfy.
Yeah, you know, John, this might be the time to bring up that, which bullet is it? One, two, three. Third bullet, third one down under qualifications.
Yes.
We were looking at that, and on that particular item, it says 7 years in an executive position.
Right.
And I think we were talking, I think one day during the break or something about, you know, Mr. Russell had 4 years when we asked him to be our interim and then permanent superintendent.
Right.
And I think you told me about 4 years as an area assistant superintendent or something. That's when people start to be ready to take the next step.
Kind of that five-year window. I mean, if you've been in a position as an assistant superintendent, say, for 5 years, you really know. You know the job, you know the responsibilities and the impact you can have on the school district. So an additional 2 years is kind of just another 2 years. And I will say that in your brochure, it talks about executive experience or
yes,
executive
sir.
Level. And in your job description, it just says 7 years in administration. So if you look to change the five to seven, I'm sorry, change the seven to five and put executive level, that would kind of, you know, strengthen, because the 7 years is just in administration. So you could be an assistant principal with 7 years and kind of meet that seven-year issue. So if you went with five on the brochure, executive level, that would certainly be a little stiffer even than the seven in administration.
Okay. Ms. Wright.
So what do you consider executive? Because I really do like the seven. So what do you consider executive? That would be my question. Because someone could have, in theory, have been an area soup or over curriculum or over something else and became a VP. I mean, it's more than one way to become an executive, because you could have held different roles.
Roles.
Correct. That's correct. And that's why it's not specific, because some districts, for example, have executive directors. They don't have an assistant superintendent level. And so it's somewhat interpretive, especially in private business, too, if someone applies from that area. So we like to leave that as flexible.
You know, I will say, to hopefully answer more to your question, there are some districts that have said directors, some school districts, directors and above are executive level positions. We've even had some districts that have said a school principal is the executive level director of that school organization, and they've accepted school principal experience as well.
Yeah, sure. Ms. Wright, follow
so,
up.
That's why I'm probably more in favor, because if we're looking at someone as outside of education in a professional realm, they never normally go under 10. So I think 7 is a medium. Maybe in education they do 5, but in a professional realm, we almost never go below 10. We look for 7 to 10.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought 7 was a happy medium.
Yeah. Ms. Cuthbert, then Mr. Cullum.
So if we open it up to someone who's not in education, these qualifications will be moot? Because
no, they would have to be they've had to have executive experience, 7 years plus, worked in a large organization, understand education.
Okay, but look at number 6. Successful experience as a school principal, assistant superintendent, or superintendent is preferred.
Preferred.
I understand that, but will that shy away someone else?
I doubt it.
Because we asked holds or is eligible for a Florida Educator Certificate. So we are, in our qualifications, mentioning education. Master's degree in educational leadership, administration and supervision is number 1, or an educational or business field.
But number 1 say,
or business
field. Comma, administration.
Right.
So
okay.
They can have business administration, they could have leadership administration. So it's kind of generic, but I see number 6, the one you referenced
uh-huh.
first. But I'm thinking of people who've gone through some of these educational training programs
mm-hmm.
from the corporate side to get an education, they would easily fall within that.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure that the applicant isn't confused.
Right.
Correct. And Mr. we also, on two, indicated professional designations. So if they have, if it's in business, people in business have professional designations of sort.
Mr. Columbus.
And I agree with keeping the 7 years. I think that, you know, as was referenced before, you know, we need someone with experience. And I'm looking for someone who can run a $940 million company. That matters to me. And so it's got to be someone with a proven track record who's not coming here to learn versus has. So while I agree that the 5 years are solid, the 2 years sort of put the cherry on top for me, because at that point then I'll know that we are getting someone who has experience, who has done it and has a proven track record, not just someone who arguably went from, I mean, you could argue and say, okay, I went from principal to area and I don't have much to show for it because I was at the 4 year mark or the 5 year mark. Where here, I'm looking for personally someone who's got some results under their belt to better serve our students. So I'm good with the 7 years.
You know, one of the things I was thinking was we have some of these statements that say is preferred. We could just say that at the top. And it applies for all of those things. Mm. Just preferred qualifications.
No,
and then that way you can't exclude anyone who thought, oh, well, maybe I don't meet the minimum standard, rather than have them question what is executive leadership. To Mrs. Wright's question, she asked, what does that mean? That could mean a different thing to somebody in Kansas than it does in Seminole County. I don't know, but obviously at the end of the day we're going to make the final selection based on their qualifications. So if you just want to make sure you're opening it up, that may be one way to do it. Mrs. Haynes.
I'm actually good with the 7 years, and I don't know that I'd put preferred at the top, because some items there's not really like a preferred. Yes, I think they inserted the word preferred in the areas where we would need it so we don't exclude others, but preferred is not in item number 3, and I like the 7 years.
Well, I guess on number 2, I guess the licensing part would be a professional designation. I don't know. I'm not sure what a professional designation.
A CPA, a law degree. You know, there are different HR qualifications, for example, that people can obtain a professional designation by going to HR training. Those are areas.
Somebody that was just like the head of a company.
Or in healthcare, I believe there are some professional designations people could earn. So
I don't know.
But we try to leave it flexible.
Well, that's all I'm trying to make it flexible. Yes, Ms. Cuthbert.
I'm going to put in a little controversy. If we decide that our candidate is a non-educator, who will be designated in our district to teach this person education, public education in Volusia County? Because that person's coming in January, middle of the year, is not going to know what an IEP or BAM score is, or understand negotiations and the issues and start and stop times, textbooks. We have a lot. We're in a specific business of education, public education. Who's going to be in charge of teaching the superintendent?
I think before we got to that answer to that question, I think you would have to agree that whoever this applicant is that does not come from an education background would have to be so strong to convince 3 of us that this person has the knowledge and skills and the wherewithal to run this almost billion-dollar corporation involving all the educationese that's involved with it. So your questions to that person, and your questions and your questions and Mr. Colon's questions and my questions, and then that joint interview, that person would have to really be on top, I think, to convince three of the five of us that he or she is the right one for the job. Mr. Colon.
And so when I think of these qualifications, I think of a president of a university who decides they want to come. They may not have never dealt with K-12 education. One of the challenges that I see, and I'm new to a lot of this, is that we have a lot of opportunities that exist because we don't run this like a corporation, because we rely on the educational experience to guide the positions and the people we put in them versus the folks who are able to organizationally, a CEO doesn't have to know what an IEP is. He needs to trust that the person he's got on top is going to carry it out, and so on and so forth. So, having the experience and the ability to acclimate quickly is a plus. I can't imagine we're going to get a lot of folks outside of education. I mean, it'd be, and correct me if I'm wrong, you all have done this before. I mean, the folks who are going to come here are generally going to be education based. What we're doing is we're just not closing the door to others. The climb is a lot harder for those folks. There's no question about it. But it goes back to, we are a $940 million corporation. And, you may know what to do in the classroom, but you may not know what to do to run a business.
Mm-hmm. All right. So I think you've heard. Yes, Mr. Dorn.
I want to just point, yeah, quick legal point, so that in case this comes up later, it was said, whatever the minimum qualifications are that you set, the applicant that you hire will have to have met that.
Yes.
You don't have the flexibility to later say, so-and-so applied with 1 year executive experience and a bachelor's degree, but we love them so much, we want them. You can't do that, because what you've done is you've announced to the world that those people are not welcome, and so they don't apply. And if you hire one of them, you've violated everyone's rights to make that application. So, yeah.
Okay, can I ask you a question then? Because I thought that was part of their role, to filter out anyone that did not meet the minimum qualifications. Is that correct?
Yes, I understand. But even with them filtering, in theory, the board makes the final decision.
Okay.
Once somebody applies, you could say, they could send you 15 people, and you could say, the person they picked number 49, we want them. We want them in the top five. Then we want them to hire them, in theory. So I'm just saying,
make sure
that whatever these minimum qualifications are, whoever applies will have to meet those to be even considered. Otherwise, they'll have to be rejected.
Okay. Thank you. Well, see, that's why I think 5 years is better, because if you all think that 7 is better than 5, I think that's good. But you can make that decision as you're going through the applicants and say, I just don't think this person with 5 is ready, but this person with 7 is, I like this person with 7 years better. Again, I just don't want to exclude, because it may be, typically what happens in Volusia County when you advertise for the county manager, like I went through, or city manager nationally, we get a lot of people who are at the end of their career wanting to spend their last 5 or 7 years here and retire in Florida, and why not? It's just great. So those kinds of individuals will have, 20 years experience. But then on the other hand, if the board is so inclined to want to hire someone who, rather than be at the end of their career, someone who is still kind of like in the middle and moving up and sees this as a bigger district, a bigger challenge, it's something that they're ready for, that person may or may not have 7 years, maybe 6, and just don't want to miss out on a rising star because they didn't meet our minimum qualifications. And I don't want Ted to come back at me and say, I told you, you shouldn't. You should. Okay, Ms. Cuthbert.
And because of that reason, I'd like five myself. And this is a fact. With this new superintendent being elected in 2014, this will be my fourth superintendent. I would like some stability. I'd like someone to grow with us, someone who has investment in our employees, in our culture, in our way of policy and procedure, someone who can be a leader and grow as a leader, grow as an individual in education. So it's I'm looking for stability.
Yeah.
So I think, Mr. Chair, we probably need to pull this to vote.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, sure. All right. So again, getting back. So these are the are there any other issues on the qualifications that anybody wants to think we ought to tweak? Because again, getting back to Mr. Doran's point, the qualifications are the qualifications, and we can't say, "Well, we didn't mean that." yes, Ms. Cuthbert.
Okay. So like number six. So a person could have been a university professor or an assistant superintendent for 5 or 7 years, depending upon the vote, and still be eligible, correct?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Just clarify.
Yeah, well, six and I guess one and six have the words is preferred. So that kind of covers us, right, Ted? I mean, doesn't mean we,
anything
we're not
that
trapped.
Preferred,
we're
not
trapped. In,
if it's preferred, you can go.
In one
you,
or six.
You have all the flexibility.
I think seven, I think that's what we want. I don't think there's any controversy there.
So for seven,
yeah.
You know, I'm not saying that they don't have to live in Volusia County, but, you know, what if they move here and decide to buy across the line in Seminole? We're telling them that they can't, that they have to reside within Volusia. Okay.
Yeah.
I just want to be sure. We're not letting them. I don't want that to be a stumbling block because they're like, oh, well, we want to live on the Wekiva River, and so that's, you know, 10 minutes outside of Volusia County. And
we have reverse.
What if I am the deputy superintendent in Orange County and I want to be the superintendent in Volusia County?
You got to move to Volusia County. Because the way it's worded, it doesn't say close to Volusia County. It says in Volusia County.
Well, no, but I mean, I just wanted to be sure because I didn't want that to be something that.
That's why I'm asking us to take a second look.
That work in Volusia County that don't live in Volusia County that drive in every day from different locations. So.
You were so right. But it's pretty common, and Dr. Vogel, you can correct me if I'm wrong, county managers, superintendents, city managers, it's pretty common for them to live within their jurisdiction.
Yes, and I think anybody who applies would understand that. And but I think what I've heard, just like Ms. Murth is saying, that you know we want someone that's going to be a resident here, is going to live and work here, and be part of the community, and have be, and so they need to make a commitment,
buy-in,
mm-hmm. And like you said, what you're saying, they're going to buy into the community by purchasing a house or living here. One thing just that might help you clarify: when the Citizens Advisory Committee receives the applications, there's a screening form that they'll have. And they'll have all the qualifications listed, as well as the desired qualities. And they'll be looking for these desired qualities, as well as the qualifications. So that's the first point where they'll be screening. And then the board members will also have that form. And so board members can use that too. So there'll be some people screened out that do not meet the qualifications through that process. The board members, though, will receive all the applications, irregardless of whether they meet the qualifications or not. So you'll see all those, too, because they're all public record. So hopefully that will help a little bit.
That's great. And Mr. Doran.
Go ahead. I would make a suggestion, since this has come up, that the language be not that they live here, but that they be domiciled or homesteaded here.
Okay.
If they have a home somewhere else, and they're homesteaded, then they're going to have to sell that house. In other words, you don't end up with, I live in Orange County, and I'm going to rent a $200
good point.
Month you know, and so I live here, but I don't really live here, those kind of things. So if you say homesteaded or domiciled, now the reason I throw domiciled in is because in theory you could live here and rent and not own a home anywhere else,
right,
and you're perfectly legitimate, but you're not homesteaded, so we can't just leave it at that.
Got it.
Because you don't own property. So
good point, Mr. Doran. Good.
And more than likely,
if you're okay with those words, I would say
if there's somebody coming from out of state, there's a possibility they would rent at first until they figured out.
Well, I mean, those things happen. But
domicile covers that.
Yeah, domicile covers that.
If they rent here.
You know, sorry. I mean, there's always.
I'm not sure I understand.
I don't know. I'm not sure why that happened because it's turned off, but the sound. But, yes, domicile covers it all, and obviously there's going to be a transition period. I mean, you hire somebody in Michigan, they're not going to be domiciled or homesteaded for the first 3 or 4 months, but I think we all get it.
Yeah, and, you know, thank you for that. That's a good one, too. But I have seen language, Ted, where it says must maintain, and whatever those words were, domicile or homestead, in Volusia County within 6 months of employment, something like that. Because to your point or someone's point, they said that they are going to probably rent maybe for a little while until they find it. So could we add some time period that's reasonable? Because this says upon employment, and, you know, that would be kind of hard to do, I would think, for anybody.
How about 8 months to the start of school the next year?
That's fine.
I mean,
you look,
just
give all the finances. Yeah,
give people a year. Come on. I mean, I don't know.
I think
six
months is fine. Because I think if they know in November, if 6 months from their starting date, they have plenty of time.
Okay. And if they needed more, they could come back to the board and let us know.
Sure. You want to force them to buy early, because once they get here, they may figure out they don't want to stay.
Want to have a huge mortgage.
No, but I've known people that have bought sight unseen and then gotten here and found out they're
didn't
not
like
the neighborhood
it.
They want to be in.
There definitely needs to be a transition period.
But they still can. Just some people may not want to own a home. They may want to just rent a home, too. Mm-hmm.
And they can do that if they're domiciled.
If they're domiciled, they can do that.
Okay, rent's the new thing.
So it must be domiciled or homesteaded in Volusia County, Florida, within 6 months of employment.
Nice.
And that means if someone's in another county that's joining, they can have 6 months to go ahead and make the move here.
Right.
And that's good because it's the end of the fiscal year.
That's
good. That's
great. Right. Good point. All right, so we have, let's see, we got seven figured out, right? Six we said is okay because it just says is preferred. Five, what about five? We haven't discussed five at all. There's a lot of language there.
Kind of open because it says work experience or further training, so really a commitment to do that is suffice based on what that's saying. I just don't know if that's a qualification versus a desire.
Well, I would hope everybody has work experience, so because they'd have to.
Where this came from was the emphasis of the board on someone that could work with strategic planning or has some experience in strategic planning, and there was a reference to that in the job description and the qualifications in the district's job description. That's where that came from.
It just seems real wordy to me. There's a lot of ors and ands and as well ases, and yes, Ms. Cuthbert.
Okay. Usually when one is an executive, one is involved in strategic planning. I think that's just a given in number two. Wouldn't it be nice work experience with – the most difficult time we have, controversial time, and strain and stress is through negotiations. I'd like someone experienced with negotiations, union negotiations, employment negotiations, someone who's experienced and knows how to work with our two unions, someone who understands the culture and how to give and take. So someone experienced with employment negotiations. I think that would be better in number five.
And I'm scared to say
Ms. Wright.
Because sometimes your HR department, depending on your industry, uh-huh. may actually handle that or a negotiator versus that of
the lead.
Of the lead. Yeah. So I think even with our district, even here, if we hire someone with 7 years of experience, 5 years of experience, if they've never set in on negotiation, because it could be very well that they did not, you've now kind of excluded them as well.
Well, still, I think it's such an important function.
But well, you could add that is preferred.
Is preferred.
I mean, that's our way out for things, yes.
But it's
and that's not bad.
Because of how we handle it, that doesn't mean every state, every school system handles it the same way.
Oh, I realize that.
So, you know, we could have somebody from Michigan that's wanting to come here that maybe has already been an area superintendent or a superintendent because, you know, those are small districts up there, that's not been part of their job role because that was part of their HR department's job role. And so I don't want to exclude the person because they haven't done that. If we're finding the right person.
It's not that they've let it. It's that they have some kind of experience with it. You know, we hire a superintendent to run our schools for us. So our superintendent has to inform us of, you know, of the latest issues. Person has to understand all the issues and contracts. I mean, or just experience with negotiating contracts. That's such an important part because we have a large percentage of our employees who belong to a union. What, 70%? That's huge with employment satisfaction.
So you don't think you would consider that with your long-range planning, that person, when we start looking at the big picture, you
well,
would consider?
Well, yes, but I think we need to somewhere, somehow mention negotiations, contract negotiations.
So then are we excluding someone? Say if there's an area where there is no negotiations, we're excluding them because they've not been a part of negotiations?
Well, when you have 70% of your workforce involved in contracts, I think it's an important part, yes.
I'm not saying that it's not important.
I understand.
Yeah. I think we need to just remember, as far as this school district has been concerned, over the years, it was Rich Kisma that did it. You know, it never really involved the superintendent. They trust their legal team and the others from the district staff. They appoint. Superintendent appoints. You guys take care of it. You keep me apprised of what's going on. We definitely, I agree with you, want our superintendent to have a good relationship with our unions, all of our employees. But to the point that having been on a negotiating team or had, you know, that kind of experience, not too many people get that experience in the school district. And typically, in fact, Dr. Vogel could tell me, I don't know if a superintendent ever sits on a negotiating team. So perhaps you could tell us a little more.
Sure. Normally a superintendent does not sit on the negotiating team, but I can tell you it's an important that the superintendent understands the process and is involved. In fact, I still am a negotiator, and I was very involved when I was superintendent, understanding the process. But I think to maybe address what you said, I really like that what was added in the desired qualities, because what we're adding is fosters positive relationships with employee union and school-connected organizations. The other thing is when the board will give some board's recommended questions for the interviews, and the board makes the final selection on that. And when we hear this, this is a question that the board will be able to ask in the public, because we divide all of the areas up, so you can actually ask that question and find out.
Yeah.
And what's really helpful for us as your team here is we know this is a priority, and so we will make sure that, you know, that that's something that people know when they apply here. That's critical.
Okay. Yes. Thank you very much.
That's good. And yes, Mr. Clark.
And for me, I think that a lot of the ability to work with our unions is going to be more in their disposition versus what they've done before. Because you can have somebody who is a master at it, but if you ask the members of their unions, they were horrible to work with. And so you may come with that experience, but it doesn't necessarily mean it was positive. And if it wasn't positive, those aren't the letters of recommendation we're going to get. You know, so again, I wouldn't want to exclude anybody, but I think for me, seeing their disposition and disposition to be able to flex and change is more what I'm looking for, which is going to come through with those 7 years of executive. I mean, that's what they do if you're an executive. You manage people.
Or 5 years.
Whatever we decide on.
Miss Wright.
So I'm going to ask our English teacher. So let's go back to number five.
Yes.
That's where we are. Would it make sense to say work experience and long-range and short-range planning
exactly
exclude or further training? Because, again, 5, 7, 10 years, they understand long- and short-range planning as well as strategic and tactical policy. I don't know if we need all of that, even the last part of that, as well as, well, I guess with strategic. So I'm looking for you for wordsmithing.
I don't think that tactical policy formulation is important.
Okay.
Short-range planning, as well as strategic and negotiation formulation. Yes.
Okay. Yes.
Can I ask a quick question?
Core.
The
brochure, yes.
This is the official qualifications. Isn't this what we should be changing? Because don't we have to go by this when we hire somebody?
No.
Well, by the time we hire this person, that is going to mirror this. But this is what's going to be posted out right away. So that's why we're trying to get this right, so that then we can come back at a future board meeting and change this, Ted, so that it all matches up and this becomes the superintendent qualification.
Yeah, Mr. Chair is right, because this is what we talked about. So this is where the changes, this reflect the changes we've discussed. This does not reflect any changes.
That's the question that he said, the minimum qualifications. So really, this is the minimum qualifications currently the district
that
right.
Did require.
Or at the moment.
But we haven't posted required new position either.
Right, but that's why I'm asking, because I don't want to get in a quagmire.
Yeah, but I think, go ahead, Chairman.
Yeah, yes, I was going to let Ted weigh in, because I think you know what we would like to do. Ted.
Yeah, I guess what we're doing is we're doing two things here. We're talking specifically about the change in the position description, which will be implemented going forward, and at the same time, we're talking about what's going to be advertised, right?
Yes.
And
yes.
So those would be
this
one
is
the same.
Going to be advertised, yeah.
And, you know, there is no question if this is the direction we're going, we need to get this,
to match.
To match and, you know, to get it done quickly.
Yeah.
Ms.
Cuthbert, yeah, let's get back to number five. And
work
get the
experience
wording.
Or further training in long / short / range planning, comma.
Period. Is that it?
No, comma. Strategic policy, comma. Or, and then that last one. Whatever you want to put in there, either.
Here's my issue with number five. Again, this 25-member board is going to be, and some of them will be, you know, right looking at every eye, and they'll be saying, "Well, we can't let that person go through because they don't have long and short range and strategic and tech, you know." We don't want that. We don't want to put that committee through that agony of trying to figure this out.
But, Mr. Chair.
Yes.
Okay.
Mr. Columbus.
So when you're going to submit your resume, curriculum, but whatever, to whoever. The first thing you're taught to do when you're taught to do this is you go through this and include as many words as possible of the job description in your, so that it could get through the automated systems that filter people out. And so if somebody doesn't have enough of what it takes to include a statement in there about their experience with short and long-term planning, then I am sorry, you are not our candidate. I mean, it's right there. It's not a secret. It's not hidden in an old document. And so if you don't include that, I mean, what executive doesn't? That's an accomplishment. That's where you speak of accomplishments. You know, we strategically planned on doing this, and we carried this out, and I took the company to be the best in the world. I mean, that's...
So you're still saying make it simple. I think it goes back to what Mr. Chair said. Just make work experience in long...
In short range.
In long range.
Type of range planning, period.
That's it.
Got it.
Forget further training, because further training is the hope for the future.
Yeah.
I mean...
Bill, do you have that?
Yes, sir.
So... Yeah, and we don't have to say long range and short range, just long and short range.
And long range planning.
And tell us if they
short and long range planning.
Short and long range planning.
Short.
Yeah.
Diagonal.
Yeah. Yeah. Got it.
I mean, they can show up and we'll know whether or not they know what it is.
And then I think the committee will be able to determine.
There we go.
I'm sorry.
Okay, that's five. How about four now? How about four? Take a look at four real quick. Do you think they would know that? Is there anything ambiguous there in four? Yeah, Ms. Cuthbert, sure.
Based on your experience, what would an applicant interpret large system mean?
Well, I think that provides some flexibility. Some districts advertise a minimum number of students. They say we have at least 10,000 students or something. But then across the country, there are a lot of the school districts are less than that. So this leaves some flexibility.
Okay.
And that's why I really like this better, because there are some really good applicants that apply that might not, like the committee would screen out because they have 9,900 students, if you say
the
number.
The superintendent from Miami wants to come north after over 300,000 to 63 is it's a real nice deal.
That's right. You're right.
And he would be welcomed.
So board members are...
He's making $360,000 a year, so I don't think Alberto's coming to the Volusia County.
Board members, are you good with number four then, as
yes.
is?
Yes.
No changes? Okay. And so we've talked about three. I know we got a vote on 7 and 5. And two, what did we say about two? Is that...
Because
it says other professional designation, right? Mm-hmm. So that gives us the broad availability to attract and other.
Am I correct, Dr. Bowe, you said for number two, in order for them to get it, they have to first be a superintendent in the state.
In order to get a certificate as a superintendent,
right.
Correct.
Okay.
Right. We offer that training program through FANS.
Okay.
Yes.
Put in a couple Ms.
Cuthbert.
In there, because it's, I don't know. We're talking about Florida Educators Certificate in Leadership or Administration. That's one whole thing. Comma, and supervision, or is it Certificate in Leadership or Administration and Supervision? Is that all one title?
It's two.
There are two.
Okay, because without a comma, I'm a little confused.
You need a comma after leadership.
Okay.
It seems to me, to your comment, Ms. Cuthbert, that in the old days, that's what it was called, a certificate in administration and supervision. And now, in the last 25 years, I think, it's been you get your Florida Education Certificate in Educational Leadership. That's the one that gives you that license to be.
You're correct. And there are still some folks around with administration and supervision.
And supervision,
right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
You need another comma after supervision.
Okay. Thank
you. The comma.
Comma after leadership and supervision.
And supervision, got it.
So really, Bill, I think it's a Florida cert certificate in educational leadership. Not a Florida educator certificate. I believe that's how it is.
Florida but educator, a Florida certificate
in educational leadership.
Okay.
Or administration and supervision.
Or,
So
I was speaking with Mr. Manning there
for
a second. So it still holds or is eligible, right?
Excuse me?
It still holds or is eligible.
Yes. Holds or is eligible, yes.
That part. Yeah. Because if you don't have or is eligible, then you just knocked out everybody who doesn't have one. And
exactly.
Certainly any business person is not going to have one. So,
right.
And maybe even some educators who had one and didn't have one and but can get it type thing. Okay. I just wanted to make
sure. That's why I added eligible.
Yes. Perfect. Yeah.
Ms. Haynes?
Professional designation. The third part in that.
Correct.
The last part there, Ted.
So it's there's three items. Holds or is eligible.
Oh, you're right, right. Mm-hmm.
The Florida Certificate in Educational Leadership or Administration and Supervision or other professional designation.
Mm-hmm. All right. That's very ambiguous. Do we know what that means?
Professional designation?
Yeah.
Well, that's what they were talking about earlier. It could be someone that holds their CPA or a certified lawyer. I'm not saying, but I mean, those are professional.
So literally, somebody has is a member of the bar.
Yeah.
Right.
That does it.
And I think
does,
what.
Well,
I'm not saying me. I'm just saying, hypothetically. Watched it. I don't want there to be any problems down the road. It's not about me. I was just saying.
What will generally happen is when the committee gets these resumes and they have questions about that, they will refer to these two gentlemen and they will help guide the committee what the board meant by those things. Ms. Cuthbert.
Are we going to expect our new superintendent, if it's another professional designation, to obtain his or her Florida certificate in educational leadership?
Well, they would get that. They would not get that. They would get the superintendent.
Right.
Certificate.
They could go to the superintendent's training program. One thing we'll advertise for the board is whoever you hire, put that in their contract. They need to go through that program because that program is designed for people that may not be educators also.
And that, I'm sure, would be a question that one of us would
absolutely
ask.
Absolutely, and we'll work with you on that to make sure they're in the program.
And that's conducted by FADS?
Conducted by FADS, correct.
Thanks.
Ms. Haynes has a
question. And the reason why is we still have districts that are electing their superintendents,
correct. And
they don't have to have any of this to
be
elected.
That's very true.
And so they go through that.
Yeah.
So that they have some, they can have a high school diploma and get elected to be a superintendent in some districts, and it's happened.
Yeah, and we just finished up with 19 superintendents that completed the second phase of the training program, and and if you look at the grades of those districts, you would be impressed. I mean, I'm not sure if the program was responsible for it totally, but they've really done well. They have a variety of backgrounds.
Thank you
for the advertisement.
That's awesome. No, that's good. Okay, and we've already talked about one, and it says is preferred. So I see the only thing left, unless you all have a question about anything else, is that on number three, whether we should leave it at the 7 or change it to at least some number less than 7. And I'm open to a motion for either of those.
The semicolon is correct in number one. It's there to separate all the commas before it and after it. So that's appropriate. So thank you. That was very nicely done.
I'm looking for a motion on the number of years.
I so move to keep that minimum of at least 7 years as written.
Okay. So I have a motion, and there's a second by Mr. Colon. Any further discussion on the motion?
So if we prefer 5... We have to vote no?
We have to vote no.
Okay. Just
and then we will come up with another number, 8 or 6 or something. Okay. So all those in favor of 7 signify by saying aye.
Aye.
And those opposed say
no.
No. All right. So it's 7. I believe I heard 3 votes here. And so keep it at 7. And... are there any other changes to the 7 qualifications anyone wants to? Because it is as what Ted was saying. You know, this is what's going to be posted. So we don't want to say, oh, we shouldn't have said that, or we should have said something else. Yes, Ms. Haynes.
So since we're changing the position description that's currently there, it does say on the position description that they have to possess a valid Florida driver's license or acquire it within 30 days of
I'm sorry, Ms. Haynes, from where are you reading?
Oh,
you're reading from this. Okay.
Okay, and the thing of it is, we're taking this.
Yes.
To change this.
Yeah.
So there were a few items on this not put on there, and I just want to know, you know, so let's say they're moving here from Wisconsin, you know, is...
Go ahead.
Well, as a matter of law, once they move there, they're required to get a Florida driver's license. So, or they'll be driving illegally, and we'll be giving them a car more than likely, so they can't do that.
Okay. So then that's sort of an understood thing.
We
don't have to post it as a...
Yeah, I don't think that has to be a part of the flyer, but, it doesn't hurt for it to stay in the job description. And that's what I was just speaking to Mr. Manning about, is getting this rolling. So
yes.
He's going to take the lead on that.
Good.
And get it on the agenda as soon as possible. Once we all reach, you all reach a decision as to what exactly will be there.
Perfect. Thank you. Thank you, Ms. Cuthbert.
Oh, I apologize.
It's okay.
I'm not asking
your
permission. Mr. Consultants, are you happy with the changes we've made?
Yes.
Under satisfaction? Yeah. Okay.
I think it gives you the flexibility, but you've narrowed it down.
Am I allowed to ask Ms. Albert to come to the...
Ms. Albert?
Give her input?
Sure. Ms. Albert. As our only participant from the public, you have...
Yes, ma'am, Mrs. Cuthbert. How are you with our corrections? What do you think?
So I've enjoyed the conversation immensely, and I mean, I think you're on a pathway here. I'm a little concerned about the conversation about the business background, but we can talk privately about that, I suppose. 5 years, I think, is good. So thank you for asking.
Appreciate that.
All right.
Thank you for volunteering.
Oh, you're welcome.
Ms. Albert?
Ms. Albert.
We kept it at 7.
Pardon me?
We kept it at 7.
Oh, my bad. My apologies. 5 would have been good for me.
Oh, okay.
Okay, but yes, thank you
for
that
correction.
Let
the record show, Ms. Albert, said 5.
Yes. Not the first mistake.
In case
we
missed some superstar
today.
Candidate that had 6
thank
years.
Thank you for your input. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
You're welcome.
And Mr. Chair, just so you know, at our initial Citizens Advisory Committee meeting, we'll specifically cover the qualifications that they're looking for as they receive their resumes. And it's great to be here to kind of hear the conversations. So
because you're the ones that are going to get the questions.
Yes.
Yeah, to clarify something.
Thank you.
Yes. All right. Now, do we need to, John, go over any other item in the brochure? Or is everybody, board members, are you happy with everything? Because this is our last chance at the brochure, right, Kelly? This is what we're looking at.
Yes, sir.
This is the final draft, other than the changes we just made here on the qualification. Ms. Cuthbert.
When I looked at it, are these the municipalities in gray on the Florida map or the Volusia County map? Are those the 16 municipalities? Is that what this is?
Oh, on there, yes. I believe that is, yes.
This is green.
Okay. And what is the one that has an outline but no gray?
SAMHSA.
I don't know.
Could be.
I think it shows the district is where the population is.
Right. Do you know the answer to that?
That's probably unincorporated Volusia.
Unincorporated.
Everything else, I think. Who knows?
Okay. I'll double check. It's been a few weeks since we pulled
that. I think to Ms. Cuthbert's point, those of us who have lived here forever, I mean...
No. Should we just take the gray areas out and leave it?
I mean, I'm just thinking take the gray areas out.
Right.
Maybe put an arrow to the where it is on the map.
Mm-hmm.
Good catch.
Yeah, because somebody wouldn't know if that's where the population is, if those are the lakes.
Yeah. It, Yeah.
Just put the shade.
That's where our schools are located.
Just take out the shading. And these features, Kelly, around like the photo, like this round photo, mm-hmm. the little blocks and the lines, is that, that's by design, right?
Correct.
So, okay, that's a, right. Okay. Wanted to make sure.
It's
yeah.
Deco.
So,
yeah. Ms. Haynes.
So back to the map. Could we just
the map
remove, like, my thought is just take this all away, make the map of Florida larger with Volusia standing out as white.
Yeah.
So that they just see where yeah. it is. Because, I mean,
yeah.
that means nothing to me.
Great right. Idea. Without great the gray idea. Areas.
That's a,
right.
that's a great idea.
No, just remove this whole.
The whole.
White that whole thing and make
yeah.
the state of Florida
make
bigger
of Florida larger,
and Volusia bigger.
Emphasis on, and then, I mean, if you don't have to, but if you wanted a little arrow that said Volusia, then.
Great idea.
I mean, just so that they
great
see
idea.
Star,
great
yeah,
idea.
Star,
idea.
Great idea. I don't know.
Well, star with a capital X, the land. That's where we meet. That's where
idea.
We meet.
Yes.
There you go.
Oh, you want one?
Awesome.
It's probably for Kelly. So,
Ms. Wright.
Did we create this? Sorry, Mr. Chair. Did
yes,
we create this document in-house?
Yes, we did.
So, just a little pet peeve of mine.
Go.
Can we go back and look at the bullets? Because they really should all be aligned. They should. You need to indent. So if you look at all our bullets and all of our numbering, they have adjusted to the left. But once you put in that number one, everything that number one should be aligned.
Which,
oh, I see
which,
what you're saying.
Which
I
page
said the
you
same
looking
thing.
At? All of them. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I understand. That was done intentionally to show the 85 schools that are in bold underneath. Is that what you're speaking? You're talking about the district facts?
So
oh, I'm
look
sorry.
Successes, when you look at desired leadership, when you start, normally when you actually use
a bullet,
it should all justify together.
So, like, for instance, on the first one where it says A voter supported half cent sales tax,
saying.
Tax, the word tax should start under the A. Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. Did, yeah.
Does that make sense?
Cleaner.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Otherwise, this is very
and
good.
Then,
very good
and then
very
what you're saying is carry that through. Through the whole brochure.
The whole
okay. Kelly, does that make sense
yes.
to you? Okay.
And I love this theme. I mean, just.
It's very attractive.
Good. Thank you.
But also, then getting back to what Kelly pointed out, Ms. Wright, on the first page, then that should be changed too.
Exactly.
Right? Under district facts, Kelly?
I see where you're
and,
saying.
Got it? And I'll show
yeah.
you.
Yeah. yeah.
Kind of
where the who
well,
speaks.
You know, the W has to come under
right.
the A.
Got
and
it.
And going along with that. So the 85 schools is fine, but really when you come underneath of it to break out how many of each one, it should be a different bullet. Like you, because the problem is you've kept it the same bullet, so then now they think you've just off-centered all of that. Like typically it's a different type of a bullet when you come underneath.
Like
maybe
you put
in
a
dash.
Arrow or
yeah.
asterisk.
Well,
okay.
for instance, Kelly, if you look on district facts and go down to the bullet, district, one district virtual instructional program. It seems like there's room next to the word virtual to put instructional program, and it should be in instructional AL program.
Mm-hmm.
You like that catch, Ms. Cuthbert? Come on,
I'm
give me a little,
proud.
Give me a little credit there. And then the other
so
one is nine alternative special centers. I think centers could fit right next to the word special. And this way you don't have that dropping down of dangling words under the bullet. Other things, board members, you're doing great. You're doing great. Catching it.
Should we put charter schools instead of seven charter? Oh, I never mind. It says elementary, middle, high, charter. It's unique. Okay. Never mind. Thank you. Nicely done.
Yeah.
And these page numbers, they were meant to be like that, right?
Right.
I just want to make sure that wasn't just a leftover on a draft. Okay. Dr. Vogel, Mr. Wright, is all your contact information correct here?
Yes, it is.
I just don't want my phone number put yes, there anywhere, so that's
I've,
good.
I've checked it twice. It's correct.
All right, good.
One thing that we have here is an emphasis on the Sunshine Law, that when people apply, that it's public record. As soon as the application or anything hits our desk, it's public record. And a lot of people don't realize that, even though we have it written out and spelled out here. And then you have your non-discrimination clause also updated.
Okay.
Compliments to Kelly. I think she and her team did an excellent job.
Yeah, Kelly. Kelly, are there any members of your team? Kelly, any members of your team you want to call out to give credit?
Frank Fitzgerald. He's very quiet.
Where's Frank?
He was the mastermind of this format.
Love it.
Thank you, Frank. You want to stand up, Frank?
Hey, Frank. I think that's awesome. Ms. Haynes, yes.
I like the paper.
On the back to the front, real quick.
Yep.
We have the bullets. Do we need this last bullet? Because the problem is it's also offset now because there's a space.
You're talking about the accredited by the Southern Association of Colleges and Schools.
I think it should be there. I just don't know if you need a bullet or you can move that up under district facts. That's actually the very first thing. Say who we're accredited by and then list the other facts.
Okay.
You all can just play with that one, but that one is such the big monster in the house.
Yeah.
We need to make it a bullet. I mean,
put that higher.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. Okay.
One thing that we recommended was that each, because you're able to produce this in house, which is a huge cost saving, that each board member receive 50 copies of these. And then produce maybe 100 to 150 more. So we have them. We can put them out at our tables at our community forum meetings. And then when we're at meetings and so forth, we can distribute them also.
Mm-hmm.
And the cost of producing more is not very much money. So.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, so you'd have some hard copy that you could use.
Nice.
So,
Mr. Cologne.
Yes. So should we consider, and I don't know what this looks like, mailing this to folks who potentially we could target? For example, you have a deputy superintendent, Miami-Dade County Public Schools. This arrives in the mail for him. I'm sure they're used to getting headhunter calls all the time. He may not have known about this position. Is that something that you all have a mailing list of non-folks that you all have not worked on hiring before?
We are good about getting the word out, but individual board members know people, or because people will approach you, you can certainly give them. That's why we think you should have some copies of it. Or if there are people you specifically want us to notify, like that particular person, whoever that might be, we'd be certainly glad to send that out. That's why it's good to have extra ones of these. Sure.
Yeah. Okay.
And
so
if you
just
know
to
anybody
be
you want us to target, let us know.
So just to be clear, it's okay for us to mail one of these out to anyone.
Absolutely. Or email. Email
too. And you can
just
refer.
Make
this
sure
is going to be on the portal too. Right. When John's going to talk about the portal, right, all this will be right on the portal too.
Right. It okay. can go out to anyone, and they can send it.
Yeah,
you can send it to anyone you want.
Right. Mm-hmm. Ms. Haynes has a comment. Yes.
Okay. So I don't know why, but I kind of felt like ethically, it myself, I'm not speaking for males, I wouldn't feel ethically right mailing this to somebody or sending them a link, because I would feel like as if they could perceive it as I'm kind of saying, hey, you want the job? I don't know. I mean, I have a hard time with that.
Yeah.
But if Ted says it's okay, but I don't see
myself.
Don't
put a return address on it.
No, please.
Or you could just call us and tell us and we'll do it.
Exactly.
You have our numbers down there. Yeah. We'd be happy to know if you feel comfortable doing it.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with it, and it's good. Maybe you buy a stamp that you put on each one of yours that says you're just one of 200 people I mailed this to.
There you go. Don't get too excited.
Yeah, don't get too excited.
You're one of two.
Miss Albert's going to mail some out.
Yeah, there you go.
But, and that's great, but we're making a final decision. I just, I mean, if I were sitting in your shoes, sure, I could send them out to a lot of people.
You'll have 50.
Huh?
You'll have 50.
I don't want 50.
Don't take them. That's fine. Okay, then I am going to say that we have made all the changes that we prefer to make at this moment, and this brochure is good to go. Yes. Okay.
Okay, I'll just, I think we can move quickly through the next item I have, which is the online survey. Really, and I have it up on the screen, and you have it in your packet. This is how the survey will look on the portal site for the public to access and complete. I know the versions that maybe we shared through various emails came out disjointed, kind of in some different formats. But this is how it will look on the website when people go to complete the survey. It really is the same content that the board saw at our last meeting. It basically gives some introduction of what the survey is for and how to complete it. And they simply go down and put their priority in each area where, in response to the first question, they would put their highest priority item in that and go down and complete each of those questions. The surveys, the open-ended questions, we believe we understand that there's a 4,000-character limit that can be put in there. And I will tell you that based on a lot of the other surveys that we've done very similar to this, you really are only going to get two or three lines. People are really not reluctant. They're not going to go write paragraphs, but they'll put in a few comments there. And then in number 11, we do ask them to identify their stakeholder group. If they're a parent, community member, or Volusia, they could be one or more of those that they would check. And then so you will have a feel from where some of the input is coming from. We ask that they identify their zip code, and they'll have a drop-down box to identify the zip code, and then hit submit, and then all these results will be tabulated at the end of the online survey period and provided to each board member. So, and this one is ready to go online and be up live active this Friday, the 23rd.
Okay, board members, we've seen this survey a few times, but let's now's the time to make the change if you want to. Yes, Ms. Cuthbert.
I talked with the two consultants beforehand and had a suggestion, but I forgot which number that we said. Was it number 3? Mm-hmm. About the internal, external communication?
Number 3.
Reading? Yeah, number 3. Which of the below statements do you believe is the most important for a superintendent to have in the area of internal, external communication?
Did you want to change that question or change some of
the first
responses?
Answer.
Okay.
Positively advocates for the district by building successful relationships with all stakeholder groups, including media, legislative, and congressional delegations. I would put in unions,
okay,
as well as business partners. Including the media.
The media is your friend.
Yeah. But I do believe unions are important and business,
I think so,
business
too.
Partnerships.
That's fine. No objection.
You can add that. Uh-huh.
Anybody disagree with adding those categories? Board members, any other changes to any other items? Kind of take a minute to look through it. Just.
Is the disclaimer strong enough to send the message that this is not a sole document, rather one document that we're going to take into consideration? You know, we've had our experiences with surveys, which makes me cringe. And so I don't see where it denotes that the ultimate decision will be that of the school board with various you know, in other words, this is one element that we are including, not the end-all, be-all.
Yeah.
Because I don't want somebody to say, well, I wanted somebody who had knowledge of current educational issues, and 90% of the people said that we want somebody with current educational issues, but we hire the CEO of American Airlines, and he didn't have knowledge, so you didn't listen to us. Mm-hmm. We've had that experience, and again, with the survey, I think it's great. I still cringe a little bit from past experience. But I think if the disclaimer were, I mean, I just don't, you know, this is one element of many that we're going to consider.
Do you think we should add a line after data that says as part of their decision-making process?
Up
here. The very last line. The school board will review and use this data as part of their decision-making process as they select a new superintendent? Is that what you're...
That's fine. Any that words to that effect, okay. That obviously, regardless of what the survey says, it's not going to be what drives the board to make their final decision. It's a source of input so that we get to know from each group. And the other thing... to Mr. Colon's point, is on page, I guess, the last one, 11. Well, it's not the last one. 12 is the last one. But, you know, it identifies parent, community member, school board, so you could get a sense of what do parents think is most important compared to what business leaders think are most important. And they may or may not be the same. So you could please one group, is what I'm saying is, you may please one group, and that doesn't mean you're going to be able to please every group in the terms of what they think is most important. Ms. Haynes.
So actually on that statement, I would prefer if it said the school board will review this data versus review and use. Because if we say use, how are we using it? Because that's when we're going to get into the argument. But, you know, there were 75 people that answered this way and 150 that answered this way. And how are we using it? I mean, to me, we're reviewing it to see what the responses are.
Yeah.
And then as we are asking, how I would see it is I'm going to review it. And as I develop my questions that I'm going to ask, I'm going to ask questions based on possibly what I reviewed. You know, everybody really likes this or is looking for this. So I want to ask questions, but if the minute we say use it, then it's saying we are using every aspect of it to form our decision, and this is one little piece.
So, Ms. Haynes, would you accept review and consider it?
So just
review this data.
Sure. Yeah.
Do you still want to include as part of their decision-making process or take that all out and just
It's going to be a part of our decision-making process. We're reviewing it as a part of the decision-making process, but we're also holding forums as part of the decision-making process and focus groups and a selection committee and individual interviews and a group interview. So I don't want it to be someone comes back on one piece and says,
we voted for this.
Yeah.
We told you this is what we wanted, and you deviated from. Mm-hmm.
I think you heard the board loud and clear on that. Mm-hmm. That one, you don't want to get hit again. Ms. Cuthbert.
Because, like, for example, number one, if that second one improves student performance, especially in identifying, narrowing, or closing the gaps of student achievement, if 90% of the people who answer this likes number two, that's going to have an impact on my decision making. And so that's, I think, what we were looking for. It's how we are impacted, part of that. I'm sorry, impacted is not a verb. So how
that's
we
right.
have an impact on this.
Impact, okay. Impact it is a verb, it's not
and
a word.
And then what
it's
happens is, as we're developing the questions, we're going to ask the candidates, or even to the process, as some, you know, I think the board will probably want to send some questions to the semifinalists to answer before they come. These are these are used to kind of focus on what questions we're going to ask. So
okay,
it all
will
fit together.
Okay. That's wonderful. Thank you.
And this is all in the format of your strategic plan, those areas which the board suggested before, which I like because there's a connection.
Ms. Haynes, did you still have a follow-up? Yes.
Yeah. On question number one, and, you know, I guess my question is, did you have any reasoning for the order you placed the choices in?
No.
It's just you selected them, and it's random where they fell? Mm-hmm. I think, actually, just based on what we know, how people read and all that, and not that I don't think all four of those are important, but I actually would have started it off with experience leading an organization with diverse student cultures, academic and social needs, because it's talking about the entire organization, and the others all talk kind of about pieces and parts of the organization. But it doesn't matter, I guess. If it goes
there's no wrong answer lines. Here. That's the catch to it.
Yeah.
There's really
no wrong.
Mm-hmm. Wrong answer. It's all feelings, and it's far from data. It's not a scientific by any means, because all of these answers are good.
Yeah, it's best just to make it as random as possible so there's no feeling that we are leading, putting the answer that we would like the first one. And you know what I'm saying. So just keep it random.
Why on question number six when we're talking about operations and infrastructure, and that's Greg's area, it covers a whole lot more than just technology, but yet we put in two topic choices of technology and really nothing else about operations and infrastructure. And I really kind of need to know from the public more than just their interest in technology, because operations and infrastructure covers a lot of different areas. So I would have liked to have seen possibly something in there about the transportation or, you know, the condition of the buildings or things like that, instead of we only talked about technology, because I'll be honest with you, parents, Security, yes. Okay, parents, I mean, really, we don't have anything about security in there, and we're spending how much money and time in security? Yeah. So that one, I just feel like we need some other options there, because the truth is, as I read most of it, a lot of these are very similar. Like, they're all falling around. Like, it's just which way you pick that it's worded versus finding out if there's a true area that means a lot to that person.
Okay. Well, we have Chandler.
Ms. Wright.
Again, so that you understand, they actually looked at our strategic plan, and that's why we know that our strategic plan is going to have to be a priority. But we want to stay with that just to make this somewhat easier. So even parents want to go back and look. Well, where did you get this from? It was from, and at that time when this was written, thank God, we didn't have the issues we're having now with safety and security. They are in front of us. We understand that. And we could add a couple things, but we were trying not to deviate too much from our strategic plan. And that's a question that we could ask not just parents or even ask in the forum, but whoever the final candidates are.
Yeah.
You know, looking at a strategic plan, we know we have to change. Again, that's how you look at their long and short-term plans, of what they see, because hopefully they've done their research on us as well.
Yeah. Ms. Wright's right on that. And Ms. Haynes, to your point, though, I think what saves us in this are those questions 8, 9, and 10, so that parents can then say, you know, what do they think are the most important things? And if safety and security is, then that gives them that opportunity to express themselves. And we'll probably glean a lot. Sometimes you glean a lot more from those open questions than the forced questions and responses. I thought I saw a hand, Ms. Cuthbert, then Mr. Colomb.
Like number six, I agree with Mrs. Haynes. That first one articulates a clear vision for the implementation of security and safety of the school district and its students, or for its employees and students and employees.
She's saying add
that. We can
She's
add that.
Add that.
I like
yes.
that. Say,
At first, we thought you were reading.
Articulate.
I thought you was reading it too.
That's the first one for number six.
I thought you were reading number six.
No, number six, the first selection. Okay, the first selection for number six articulates a clear vision for the implementation of security and safety. For students and employees.
Okay.
Ms. Haynes, yes.
Nothing against saying articulates a clear vision, but we've already got articulates a clear vision. Why could it says, which of the below statements do you believe is most important for a superintendent to have in the area of operations / infrastructure? Why couldn't it be something about a clear understanding or knowledge of safety and security procedures? Because, like, they can look up the Florida legislation, the state statute that says this is the things that we need to understand, and I need them to know what it is that the law says we have to do.
That's fine. I was just making sure implementation of security and safety is in there.
Good suggestion.
So, but understanding the implementation is,
or understanding the requirements, but because we're having to follow what the legislation said, and if we're out of compliance, we can be fined. And so I'd much rather them understand the legislation and know how to implement it. But that's just my opinion.
Can I ask
Mr.
Aiken if that's okay? Does that cover? Okay. All right, thank you.
Understands the legislation?
Well, understands the implementation the necessary implementation of security and safety. Or students and employees. Is that okay?
Could you repeat that one more time? I apologize.
Certainly. Well, let's see. What did I say? Understands the necessary implementation of security and safety
for students and employees.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Understands the necessary implementation of security and safety for students and employees.
Is that okay?
And that's replacing which one?
First
one. It's an
additional.
You wanted that as additional?
Oh.
Because
they said that these came out of our strategic plan, which they did. So I didn't know if we could delete a piece of the strategic plan.
I think it takes the place of
number one.
Because number two also talks about the second one. So I think I could change number one to this one.
I agree.
That's what I was suggesting.
That's
because the second one is technology.
Okay.
It was to address your concern about duplication.
Okay. Yeah, because I think any time you put the word safety and security as a choice, that's going to trump the others. I mean, the most important, and so you can't lump them in the same one. I mean, it wouldn't be fair.
Support service areas. Is that like transportation?
Yes, transportation could be
support.
Which one is
that? That's the third.
The third one, should we add? Like transportation, schoolway cafe, just so people understand what that is.
Yeah.
Okay. Put in.
To include, but not limited to.
Services.
Uh-huh. Transportation.
Areas including.
Transportation, schoolway cafe, any other.
I need to, Ms. Cuthbert. I need to get back online here. I don't know which one you're talking about now.
It's the third one and number six.
Oh, okay.
It's to help clarify. I apologize, Mr.
That's okay.
Chair.
Yeah.
To help clarify support service areas.
Four-way cafe. Do you want me to read this back to you?
Yeah.
Okay. Knows procedures for assessing and improving district operations in all support service areas to include but not limited to transportation, schoolway cafe. And was there
another
third?
One?
Purchasing.
It has to be reader friendly.
Okay. And purchasing. Okay.
Thanks.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Okay. Ms. Haynes, Ms. Wright, any further changes, additions, deletions? I don't see any.
Okay. Thank you. I think we're at our last item now, which will be for the board to identify the members of the Citizens Advisory Committee.
Okay. I was under the impression that we were going to do that at our next meeting on the 28th. But I will report to the board that those 10 organizations that we identified at our last meeting, I guess, that they have all said that they would do it. And I do have, I don't have it with me, but I do have a name for each of those organizations, the person that's going to actually serve. And I wasn't sure, but I'm assuming you want their email and their phone number. Is that good enough?
Yes, if I can contact? Have when the members come back with your other ones at our next meeting, and for these 10, if I can have their name, their cell phone number preferably, and their email address.
Okay, name, cell phone, and email.
And an email address that they use frequently. Because sometimes they'll have a business and a home. Maybe their most frequently used email. Or the email that they would like to have for these communications.
Okay, and I don't want to change anybody, because if some of you may have your names and you're ready to go, so I don't have mine. My challenge has been, and I don't know whether you all are experiencing this, but there's just so many people. There's just so many, and so many great people, and I want at the end of the day to have our committee be representative of every group that that I could possibly think of, as well as demographically, and as well as I hope there's a rather good percentage of the people that actually have parents that have children in our public school. And that's kind of one thing that I've tried to tell myself. We don't want to have a committee of 25 and only three of them have children in our public schools. Not that we couldn't have 25 super people, because of their business background and their leadership and their reputations and all those other things, but certainly we want to make sure we have some parents. Parents can be business leaders too, and all those things. But I'm just having a hard time trying to make those decisions. I don't know whether the rest of you are. I think Ms. Haynes was first, and then Ms. Cuthbert.
Okay, so I just want to make sure. That I understood, though, that we're not placing anyone on the committee that is currently a school board or currently a Volusia County employee under the school board system, correct? That was the agreement, because we're hiring someone that would be
their supervisor.
So then the question has come up. I've received emails from students, so I didn't know where we stood on students, because I've got a student out of your district that is wants to be on mine. I don't know.
Yeah.
I need to know. And then to go along with what you said about them being a current parent, I not only was looking for that, but I was even okay if they were a current grandparent, because maybe they already put their children through Volusia County Schools, and now they're putting their grandchildren through Volusia County Schools, and so I also thought, I wasn't excluding them, that if they did not, because we've got some people that have been here a long time, that they themselves went through Volusia County Schools.
Yeah,
so
that's
I wasn't excluding.
That's true. There are so many people that could serve on this committee. Yes.
Do we have to say it all at one time, or can I say, because mine have been chosen for a while. And that way it'll help all of you to know who I've recommended. Their place, or would you prefer it all at one time?
I think what you wanted to do was kind of go around, like Ms. Cuthbert would make her nomination, and we would say yay, and then Ms. Haynes would make hers, and we say yay, and so then you have five from five, and then you get your second one, and then that would give you some insight on who the first five were, and maybe if it's all leaning one way, like, remember, he said that we should have six or eight names ready to nominate, and then I'm just throwing something out there. Let's say it's all females, the first 20, and you think, well, you know, so maybe we should add a male to the list. Of course, I'd get outvoted on that, but I mean, you know what I'm saying. We just want to make sure that at the end,
Mr. Chair, I think it does. It has worked in previous cases. It works well in that kind of go around once and then go around twice, because then you kind of see that committee coming together. You know, it's like the old Polaroids when you took the first picture, it was all fuzzy and everything.
Yeah.
Then after you waited 5 minutes, it got clearer and clearer. So as you kind of go around, you start seeing the makeup of that committee. So one board member who might have five or six extra names would think that, well, this selection, this person would fill in and kind of expand it in certain areas that we're concerned about.
Yeah.
No, ma'am. This is a board member's identification of who my first person is.
Okay.
So there's no voting. No, ma'am.
Mr. Klum.
And what I've found by asking folks is a lot of folks are having a hard time with all the dates.
Yeah.
And so one of the requirements I've had for anybody I've asked is I'd like them to be at every single one.
Oh, yeah.
And so you'll be surprised how quickly that narrows it down. Because it's like...
That's what's happened to my list.
It's like rapid fire.
My list started out with lots of ideas, but then I've got all these people that can't...
Can't make all three.
So I'm down to a smaller group that's like, I commit to every...
Yeah.
And I really will add that I really do not see the need for that fourth date, that 11th date, you know, so the first three dates, the three dates.
October 11th,
yes.
You think October 11th, not be necessary.
I really see no need for that. And that is a date,
well,
of course,
good to know,
that we'll give it to
you. I think
you
that was a Friday night, and that was throwing some people.
I know, but
yes,
I told mine all four dates with the possibility that the fourth one may not have to be, but I was like, I just need you to commit to the whole
piece. That's what I told the 10 organizational people. Be prepared for the fourth one, but it's not likely.
Not likely.
I thought there were only three. The 26th.
The second.
The second.
And
then
the 10th.
Be the 30th. The
11th. The 11th one, right. The 11th is...
No.
There's
three
meetings.
There's four.
There's three meetings.
So there's 26th. 26th.
I basically typed up a little thing and sent everybody the same 26th, thing.
26th, 2nd, and 6th.
Exactly.
Yes, ma'am.
26th, 2nd, 10th, and 11th.
And the 10th, the 11th is... I'm 99% sure it will not be needed,
okay.
The 11th. So you would have the initial meeting on September 26th, the second meeting on October 2nd, and the third and final meeting October 10th.
And people have asked, I don't know whether they asked you guys, I asked how long will the meetings be? And I thought you said 90 minutes, but I wasn't sure.
The initial meeting will probably be about an hour to an hour and 15 minutes, and then after that about an hour and a half.
Okay.
All for right, the second and third meeting.
I did not misspeak then. That's okay.
Yes.
That's good. I'm trying to think if there's anything. I guess we can't do anything now. I'm trying to save us time on the next one. Oh, yeah. That's good. So we need to decide if we want to have a student. And then could that student be... the 26th person on the committee? Because you said it didn't matter if it's an even number or odd number. Okay, Ms. Cuthbert.
I've already asked and has been accepted a student on my three.
You have a student. Okay. Good. I mean, you know, I think it's good to have one.
I think
so too. But I didn't want to, that's why I asked the question. I didn't want the student, if the board felt this way, not to take a position of an adult who was going to be there. So what I'm saying is it could be We could have a committee of 26 if you'd like. Ms. Haynes.
So you've already selected one of your spots for a student.
I have all three committed.
And one of them is a student. That's what she's saying.
So the student that keeps emailing.
You and me?
Yes. Can we put that student, and you? Mm-hmm. Okay. Can we put that student on as the 26th?
She contacted all of us.
Huh?
She
contacted.
Oh, this was a he.
Oh, maybe it's a he. I can't remember. But I'd already selected a student.
Oh, and they know you selected a student.
Yes,
because
I told that person that I'd already selected.
Because they've told me in an email that Ms. Cuthbert selected a student. Because
yes.
I tossed it to Carl.
Yes, you did. Thank you very much.
Well, no, but
I know. It's fair.
Because I didn't want to, like, immediately do that and then have another student in my district say, well, Ms. Cuthbert's got a student. And so I tossed the student back to you saying, well, since you live in Mr. Persis's district. And then the student said, well, it shouldn't matter which district Ms. Cuthbert are. So could we just put that student on this committee?
Yeah, I mean
the student is being very proactive to be on the committee. How's everybody feel about that?
In fact, he's listening to us right now.
We could.
I'm surprised we're not getting it.
He's the only student listening to us.
That student will be treated just like everyone else. That student's name can come up, and the board votes, votes to have that student.
Look, I'm all for students that want to participate.
I'm all for students. That's the business we're in, right?
Yes.
So we will get our additional names at the next time we meet.
Good. And if there's any words of wisdom on that that you may provide to me, just to make that move as quickly as possible, because I got a feel of this next agenda may be long.
That's why I thought we were doing it today.
I know, but I'm not ready to do it today. That's why.
No, I think that the couple of items that we had for the next meeting are very simple and just it's more of a F for your information.
Okay,
and
good.
So maybe clean up for my English teacher. Yes.
Because our workshop meeting started early.
Well, then let me ask Ted on this. Ted, then on these people, these 25 that we're tossing about, is that official board action that we are appointing them? Is that what we're doing? Or is it?
Well, what I anticipate would occur is that everybody would put their name up.
Yeah.
And, of course, if there's duplicates, obviously there will be adjustments. And then when all the names are in, I would ask that the board make a motion to approve and vote on
the
26 or whatever.
Well, then let me ask you this just to expedite it. Could we talk about do all this during the workshop?
Oh, you're saying workshop versus yes.
Workshop, do everything, have all the names, and then just have it as an item, approve the citizen advisory committee.
There could be a vote, yes.
On that.
Yeah. Yes. That need to be a board action item.
And this way it will just be
like a
consent item. Not that it will be, but you know what I'm saying. It will be a board action item.
And all the names then would be published, so then the public would know who the names are.
No, we wouldn't know because we will just be determining that at the workshop 2 hours prior.
Oh, I see.
Okay.
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah, that's fine. We can talk about it at the workshop, and then we can vote at it at the regular meeting. May I throw one more thing? I don't really know the answer to this, but out of an abundance of caution, if the student is not 18 years old, we might want to get some sort of parental consent or acknowledgement, because once that name gets thrown out there,
I've already prepared. It's going to be a field trip form. Permission from parents is already accepted.
Thank you.
Field trip form, everything.
Yeah, I think if any of you, rest of you, are considering that, I think we should do the same thing. Because it's you become a public figure, literally. I mean, you know, just everybody on this committee is going to be subject to the Sunshine Law. They're going to be public figures. They're going to be whatever. I'm not sure when you want to throw a kid's name out there and then have the parents say, well, I didn't hear anything about this.
And then along that same line, Ted, and I'll get to you, James, all the people on this committee will have their contact information public.
That's right. Yeah, and then we need
to so make sure the parents are aware that this student could get
and approved
emails. Yeah. And Ms. Haynes.
So what I was going to say is if Ms. Cuthbert's already created a form for this particular student, can that form not be shared for
yes.
any other? I mean, I think it should be consistent. Whatever yes. we're doing, if we're going to put students, and I agree with you, I hadn't thought about if they're under 18 and we're putting their thing, I think the form should be consistent. Like, whatever form you generated for the student, you've already gotten parental approval. We need, I think, to use the same form for everybody.
Yes. It's the school-based field trip form. My question is, does it need to be approved by the board in our consent agenda?
What do you want?
Field trip form. It's a field trip because she's leaving campus.
I also have an
official.
But it's at 6 p.m. at night. She wouldn't have been on campus.
Well, still, it's school. It's a school assignment. Isn't it a school-based assignment or?
It's kind of community service.
I have a media release form that covers. It would cover us on the website, I believe, if the names are listed on there, and any sort of mention in social media or media. I don't know if that's something that would help.
Suit the district to help us with that, whatever the protocol is.
Yeah.
It's not our.
For a student to be on a committee.
Yeah.
Is that Mr. Manning?
And Mr. Manning will need to.
Mr. Manning will head that up.
We'll head that up and let us know by the workshop.
And Mr. Persis,
what is. Yeah, please let me know too.
And get a form out to everybody. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and.
Okay, so maybe a parent permission form?
But I think the news media release is good because everything's going to be published about them. Mm-hmm.
Their names would be listed.
Yeah, I think that's the part I'm most concerned about, that the parents are aware.
Right.
That your child's name is going to be.
News media releases for students that are under 18.
Yeah, that might be the way to go.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for bringing it up. Thank you. Yes. Dr. Vogel, back to you.
Kelly, you'd like to talk a little bit about the press release going out?
Oh, yes. Our press release is going to be going out this Friday, as well as the online survey will be live on Friday.
Okay.
The press release will just include information saying we are officially looking for a new superintendent. Here's how we're going about it. Have the link to the online survey, as well as the dates for the community forums and locations, so people know they can go to that. We will send it to the media. We'll post it on our social media pages, and you can share the link to the survey. Anyone can share that, so anyone can fill it out.
Okay. And can I just ask you, Ted, I know when you first meet with this group, you're going to go over the sunshine laws and all those kinds of things. Is there any, and when people send these resumes in, and they're going to be sending them to you,
yes.
And then how would just a general member of the public know who has sent a resume to you? Does that get announced before one of these citizens advisory committee meetings? Or?
Well, we meet. The advertisements close on the 25th, I believe, and then our first meeting is on the 26th. But as the resumes come in at the end of each week, if you recall, I will send to Connie the completed applications by each week, and then Connie will send those to the board members.
Okay.
When Connie sends them to the board members, I'll also send to the appropriate person in IT for the posting of the resume only to the portal.
Okay.
Under applicants. We talked about not doing their cover letter, we
sure.
discussed this a little bit recently, but we will post the resumes at the end of each week. As the board members get completed applications, all documents, then we'll post that following Monday the resumes of the persons on the web portal.
Okay. And
yes.
And then you will know the people who are on the committee, Citizens Advisory Committee, then you're forwarding them right to them as you get them to, or do you wait till that first meeting?
We will wait till the first meeting because we want them to understand Sunshine first before they get documents and start discussing or between themselves.
Okay.
We also want to make sure that they understand the qualifications. So that first meeting of the Citizens Advisory Committee will be kind of the rules of the game based on what the attorney has to say. We talk about qualifications. We talk about their job to do before the next meeting, their job to do before the third and final meeting. And then what I will do that, and that night I will confirm everyone's correct email address. I'll confirm their phone numbers. And then that evening or very first thing the next morning, I'll send an email to all of the advisory committee members with the applications attached.
Okay. I guess my concern is that if I'm a member of that committee, they become that committee on August 28th, right? That's when we officially...
Yes.
They know they're on that committee.
Yes.
And aren't they right then, Ted, governed by the Sunshine Law?
Yes.
Even though you're not meeting with them till September 26th, there's a four-week time period. And I guess what I'm thinking is, so if you publish a resume from an applicant, say September the 15th, I'm on the committee, I look at that resume, mm-hmm. and then I call Ms. Wright and say, hey, Ms. Wright, did you see the resume? I really like, I start talking to her outside of the sunshine. I don't know. Is there some way that, Ted, you think we should just caution them?
Well, we can
as
certainly...
as soon as we know who they are.
Right. Well, we certainly can hold the resumes as far as going to the web portal.
Okay. Not release them till this...
I'm just not saying... I don't know what the rush is.
We don't have to... Why are we putting all the resumes online? I mean, it's one thing to... Well, it's one thing for someone to request it, but... Because it is public record, but when people apply for a job, you don't technically put every application in the world online for the world to see. So,
well,
I mean, it is public record.
Yes, you do. It's just, yes, you do, but it's the question of when, and do we have to do it,
no.
you know, every day
no.
Before the committee meets? That's my, if y'all don't think it's a problem, tell me, but.
What if they're not posted online until the morning following the first committee meeting? That way they review the Sunshine Laws with the committee on the September, so it closes up at the end
25th.
Of the day on the 25th. They review the laws the evening of the 26th
right.
with all of them, and it all gets posted on the 27th so that the committee has it as well as anyone else in the public that wants to start reading them can read them, and... They're there. Now, as far as we go, I would appreciate getting them, and I'm not going to share them with anybody because we've got a lot to read with a lot of
yeah.
But they don't have to post
it. So that becomes public record then, too, once you get it.
Yeah.
Oh.
Well,
go ahead, Ted.
I mean, it's...
Mr. Manning, did you want to weigh in on this?
Complicated, doesn't it? Because,
yeah.
Well, if the board members get it, it becomes a public record. But if nobody requests it, it's not a problem. But if they do request it, what the law says, it has to be produced within a reasonable time. So it's not a deadline time. But then you're talking about a whole month. Is that reasonable to hold back the resumes that you have from the public if they've been requested? Is that a reasonable time? Probably not.
Can we draft an email? So, like, for example, when after we became elected, Mr. Doran sent us an email letting us know that despite the fact that it was November 7th. I can't remember. It was November 7th. He let us know immediately that we were subject. So the same way, once we select the names, if an email can go out to them with the instructions that you are under the Sunshine Law, I'm sure there's a video from YouTube you can attach to it to explain that to them. At that point, because the state has resources. At that point, they are under the sunshine, and they shouldn't speak to anybody about that. And you've given them instruction.
And Mr. Manning, and then I'll let Mr. Dorn.
That's basically what I was going to suggest, is once you pick the names, when you notify the individuals that they've been selected for the committee, explain to them what the committee is for, and then a heads up about sunshine, you know, laws, not to discuss any of those things. So they've got the information right up front so they know, I didn't know we weren't supposed to talk about this.
I would think it's customary once we approve this committee, their names, that they would get a letter perhaps from me, or I mean from the board, thanking them, and then also alerting them about the Sunshine Law, and that Mr. Doran would be your contact for issues related to that and questions.
Yeah, I mean, well, we could just make a brief reference. We could point out that you are now subject to the Sunshine Law, and we could point out that what that means at a minimum is you cannot discuss, you know, anything that you might vote on in the future with any other members of the committee, and so we recommend that you not converse with any other members about what you might be considering, and then point out that there will be a more fully developed presentation on the Sunshine Law at your very first meeting at the very first item on the agenda.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah, that's great. Ms. Cuthbert,
questions? I have a question and a suggestion. Reasonable time, I don't know if I would start looking at some of the resumes, you know, that far in advance. What if, to address the issue of respectable time, maybe you collect them and then let us see them on the 13th, which is a Friday. Friday the 13th of September? Friday the 13th of September, that's a bit ominous to me. Maybe the next Monday? But that way it's only a couple of weeks, and that's reasonable. And then we have 2 weeks ahead of time to keep an eye on it. And then my question is, once it's sent to us, I know we cannot talk to each other, and they're going to be cautioned not to talk to each other, but are they allowed to go out and say to their best friend, their parents, the maybe it's a teacher in a classroom, look at all the resumes, what do you think? Are they allowed to share those resumes with others?
Yeah.
They're going to be posted. Yeah. Well, I understand, but I don't know. I just want to clarify, yeah. Are they allowed
or could a to committee it? Member share yes. it with
share
others?
Share it with sure. A spouse, share it with a classroom, or like my student who is a SGA individual, share those resumes with student council. Mm-hmm.
I think the answer is yes. Yes. You're getting a lot of nods here. Yes, Dr. Vogel.
One suggestion, though, is we really are reluctant to hold any resumes because they are public record, and the press is going to ask us. And then if we don't, the board members should get them as soon as we receive them, or, you know, so that's it's really reluctant to hold them.
And you will get the question, you know, so you receive these electronically in one packet, so reasonable time to provide them to anyone requesting is download and
very
send.
Short time.
So you know, 3 or 4 days is that you'll get an argument is not reasonable. It's right. Electronic. Send them, please.
Yeah. Got it. All right, then I think the idea of the letter with the message in the letter, advising them of the Sunshine Law.
And a thank you included. Yes.
And thank you for serving. And yeah. Okay.
I just would like to say that anyone who is observing this meeting would be impressed. All of you have worked together to come to consensus on many issues, and what we've accomplished today.
Yeah,
I think it's been pretty amazing. So yeah. I think it's very impressive the way all of you work together as a team.
I think so too. Yeah, I want to echo that. I think the board has just been great. I think we have had a lot of extra meetings because of this process. Yes. But I think you all too, from Florida School Board Association, John and Bill, you all have been great, and guiding us correctly. And now we can see it. Now it's coming. You know, so Friday it'll be on the portal, right? And press release and. It's going to get going now. So, all right. Board members, any other business? Any other business from you all? Mr.
Chair, if yes. I could, the yes. email address is for the individual board members that when I'll send the – well, I'm sorry, that comes from Connie. I apologize. Thank
okay, you.
You
send it to Connie. Mr. Mann, did you want to add anything?
No, I didn't. I just
okay.
wanted to address that.
And Mr. Doran, we're good? We're good, everybody? We are adjourned. Thank you.